One of the things that I love the most about summer camp, particularly Christian summer camp, is that when you cross the line into camp, almost everything about who you are outside of camp does not matter anymore. Your varsity letter, your GPA, your above average reading level, your below average reading level, the name of the school you go to, even your cat allergies, don't really matter once you cross from the outside world into the world of camp. For many people, campers and counselors alike, this is a very freeing experience. Many sports people steer clear of the basketball courts at camp. Many artists will never go into the arts and crafts shed. And the high achievers realize that there is actually nobody around to give them a grade for rock wall climbing. Of course, I will admit there are some exceptions to this relatively utopian picture I have painted. A basketball star will continue to be a basketball star at camp, and they might gain a lot of notoriety for that. Similarly, a skilled painter will still have people ooh and ah over their work. Musicians will get roped into being in the camp band even. However, any of these things only go so far within the community. Your basketball skill, your paintings, and your musical prowess are kind of reduced to no more than what they actually are. To really parse it out, there are no grades given, no medals awarded, and no one to put you on varsity. And any particular skill becomes less than what it actually is and more what it does to foster joy, connection, or to help your cabin win something, which is a form of joy and connection, actually. And I know this to be true because I have, honest to God, hand on heart, one of the most highly valued skills in the camp world. More than dunking a basketball, more than passing any swim tests, more than fire building. I'm not overstating this. I can start boondoggles. If you don't know what that is, I intended to bring one and then couldn't find one, but they are the sort of plastic lanyard things that you or your children might have made at any point in the last half century at camp or school. Not only can I start them, I can start almost 40 in just 1 minute. In the outside world, this matters unfortunately very little. However, in a world where sort of collective joy is highly valued, such a skill is of critical importance. I fear I may have digressed too deeply into the skills and talents that may give you notoriety at summer camp. But the point I have been trying to make is this. The beauty of camp is that when you cross the line from the outside world, the evaluations of the outside world fall away. Instead, you are judged differently through a lens of connection, love, and joy. In the first letter of John today, which is a lovely letter, and for those of you who may have missed the memo, it is the subject of our Eastertide sermon series. One phrase in particular caught my attention. In this letter, John makes the extremely bold statement that we are God's children. This designation, God's child, at the time of this letter's composition, was strictly reserved for emperors, heroes, and even Jesus himself. It did not have the more acceptable, perhaps even jovial usage that we have today. To make the statement that we are God's children is a bold one. So bold, in fact, that in the Eucharistic prayer, before we pray the Our Father, which is a prayer where we reference God as a parental figure, the minister says, we boldly pray. Listen for it if you haven't noticed it before. So suffice to say, it would be unthinkable, blasphemous, and even treasonous to call yourself a child of God in the way that the author of 1 John does. Even aside from the boldness of this statement, what does it actually mean to be a child of God? For the ancient world, it would seem to proclaim that, to quote a different epistle, that there is no more slave or free, male or female, Jew or Greek. And in the ancient context, wherever you were born and to whom you were born, pretty much determined how your life would look. For most people, this meant that their hard life and low social status were inherent to their very existence. Only now, after being children of God, the labels that get put on them by their society, by the empire that they live under, are no longer their true identifiers. Instead, they are adopted by God. They are not lowly peasants, fishermen, or carpenters. They are beloved children of a God who cares deeply about them. And for us today, it is really no different. We may have more democracy, more social mobility, and slightly different occupations. But to be a child of God means that, just like when we enter camp, we leave all kinds of allegiances and memberships behind. It's a fundamental new identifier, one that exists deeper in us than any report card, evaluation, collegiate affiliation, or social club. Maybe this new state of being is not obvious to the outside world. The letter says as much. The people who aren't necessarily children of God don't necessarily get what it is that is different. There are no huge physical changes and no big jump upward into the higher social strata. However, it is something of an internal characteristic, a metaphysical change that we understand about ourselves and about the people we share community with, our fellow Christians. But then, the letter gives us a slightly more ambiguous message. After this really bold statement about what we are now, God's children, the author says, we don't really know what happens next, what we're going to be later, or what will even happen to us. We do get the general idea that it will be something good, based on our new identity as children of God. However, we get what it is not in the next section. It is not lawlessness and chaos. The author of John seems to think it's very important to stress that just as much as we are beloved by God, that does not give us license to cause chaos and strife. Interestingly, in the gospel today, Jesus makes his first big appearance to the expanded group of followers. And I'm going to take this as a cue into the ambiguity of what we will be according to John. The very first thing Jesus says is, "Peace be with you all." The second thing he does after calming down the disciples is ask them if they have any food. Resurrecting is evidently hungry work. They give him broiled fish, which I take to be the ordering dominoes of ancient Galilee. Then Jesus sits and explains all the weird and somewhat scary stuff that happened. And finally, he tells them that they are witnesses to all of this. Here is where I think we have something of a touchstone in the ambiguity of what we will be. Just as we are children of God, we are witnesses to all that has been done. Maybe what we will be is witnesses to this wonderful thing and this good news in Christ. For now, maybe that means in the joyful wake of a bright Easter, we take some time, order dominoes, and reflect on what this good news, that we are children of God, worldly titles be darned, means for us. Maybe in our lives as Christians, pulled in many directions as we stumble along, this ambiguity of not knowing what we will be invites us into knowing that as much as we try to do good in the world, we don't really know what we will be. And to return to the question that we are exploring in the sermon series, maybe this is what it means to be a community of Christians in the light of the resurrection. To honor the fact that as Christians, we are given a fundamental new identifier that usurps all of our other ones, children of God, to figure out how this fits into how we live our lives with one another. And of course, this is much easier at camp in a place away from the typical pressures of modern life. No building job portfolios, no report cards, no quarterly reviews, where there is no rent to pay and all your meals are cooked for you, for better or worse. But maybe we can look to that as an example for how to begin to think about it. To think about how we can uplift ourselves and others in ways that recognize that we are all children of God, be it for starting boondoggles or something else. And also to remember that in all of this trying and thinking, we still don't know what we will be or where God will lead us. We remain works in progress, even as we are children of God. In the name of the one who loved us first. Amen.